good evening, and welcome to the Hipster's Guide to Europe.
Hello and welcome to the Hipster's Guide to Europe from V2 Football. I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, and joining me for this show, we've got Dan Tracy.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
No worries. You well?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, mate.
So you are a designated La Liga expert for tonight. I hope you've been brushing up on your stuff.
Yep, I'm good to go on all things La Liga, so hit me with what you got.
All right, no worries. So we'll start. We'll come on to La Liga in a minute. I just want to start with a few other stories I've noticed around Europe. Roger Schmidt's been sacked as a Leverkusen boss. Former Hannover Kaiserslautern boss Typhoon Korkut has come in. I don't know who he is either, to be honest. Club's down in 10th. The club, they've underachieved a bit this season. It's been a bit of a part of a strange German league, I think.
Yeah. I think it's sort of the teams you would imagine to be in that top three. Obviously, Bayern would be running away with it as per. But you sort of, everything else is a little bit out of kilter, really. You've got teams like Werder Bremen 14th, Wolfsburg 15th, Leverkusen, as you say, in 10th. Mönchengladbach finishing the Champions League places last season, just a place above them in 9th. So, yes, really topsy-turvy. But Schmidt's form, 4 defeats in the last 6, has obviously gone against him. The fact that they're in the quarterfinals, the round of 16 of the Champions League, doesn't seem to be enough to sort of save his job. And this is a man who's been linked with Arsenal, so he's obviously, this is not how his career trajectory is probably planned out to be over the next couple of months. So, like you say, I don't know who the new man is, unfortunately. I've not quite brushed up on a Bundesliga knowledge, but they're 11 points off Champions League football, so you'd have to imagine that that's a pipe dream for next season, unless they go on and somehow win this season's tournament. But, it's a funny one, really. But like you say, it's probably more due to Leverkusen not matching their expectations for this season, I would imagine.
Just want to talk about a team in Germany that has exceeded their expectations. What do you make of Leipzig, Red Bull Leipzig, or Rasenballsport, as they're officially called?
Well, obviously they're the new kids on the block. I think German football, they're not too sort of happy with the way Leipzig have sort of gone up the ranks, really, because you've got to remember that German football is all about fan ownership to a certain degree, and how that corporations aren't allowed to sort of buy into clubs. So the fact that Red Bull sort of circumnavigated the rules and got to the club to where they are, it doesn't really sit well with traditionalists, perhaps. But on the flip side, it sort of almost needs the sort of new kid on the block to sort of at least keep Bayern Munich honest. It's not quite planning out as it was at the start of the season, where it was a little bit tighter. Now Munich have sort of finally hit their stride under Carlo Ancelotti after a slightly shaky start. But it certainly makes it a bit more interesting. It's a talking point. Whether this is going to be Leipzig staying around on the long term in sort of that sort of top bracket, and if they can ever go on and win the title. But at least it mixes up, so it's not necessarily a bad thing in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. And on just sticking in Germany with Bayern as well, obviously they won the treble under Jupp Heynckes a few years ago, and then Guardiola came in and he didn't win a Champions League, and I know by some Bayern fans he's seen as a bit of a failure for that. Do you think Bayern can get to the top, the very top level, as the best, if not that top three clubs in Europe?
I think you could say they almost already are, really. I think when I consider, who would you think of the best three, I'd put them in that bracket. You're right in the sense that, Guardiola steamrolled everyone domestically, but I think the manager's career is defined at Munich by winning a Champions League. So, perhaps failure is probably a bit of a harsh word, but to not win that trophy with that squad that he had at his disposal, mm-hmm. It's probably, it'll probably be his one regret from his time in Munich. But, it's I guess when the league is almost a one-horse race, sometimes a two-horse race, but when you're sort of winning the league at a canter, then it's sort of that's your minimum. Go on actually and win a big trophy, win the Champions League. So I guess that Guardiola could be a failure in regards to comparison to your Heynckes. But in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't a bad stint at all, was it?
Of course, no, of course not. But it's, as we say, it's hard to judge domestically because he's expected to win anyway, and it's almost he can't win no matter what he does. But then it's the Champions League, which he's judged on almost. And he still, it wasn't like there was any embarrassment there. He got them to, semi-finals and that. So, the other thing I just want to mention in Germany as well, there's been some news about Mario Götze, who, sort of flopped at Bayern and went back to Dortmund. He's out for the foreseeable future with a metabolic disorder, it's been put down as. What do you make of him? Because I know when he was very young, there was a lot of hype around him. Obviously, he joined Bayern for this massive fee. Do you think he's someone who could have gone on to be, you know, one of the best players in the world?
I'm not sure about one of the best players in the world. I think he'd probably be in that bracket, sort of below. Would he have been on a par with, say, Neymar or Suarez or Messi, Ronaldo? Perhaps not. That's not to segue anything from his talent. He'll always have the fact that he's got that World Cup winning goal. So whatever he does in life after this, he'll always have that. Did his move to Munich, perhaps? Did it really work out? Perhaps not. I mean, obviously big money, so that comes with big expectations, but didn't quite sort of live up to those that were set, which obviously is natural after being so much money thrown at him to facilitate that move. So it's a difficult one, really, because obviously it's not like an injury where you done your cruciate or done your Achilles, and that you can pretty much come back to now with modern medicine and surgery and the like. But to have something like this, you know, you sort of then do wonder about if his career is ever going to hit the heights that it's sort of been at now, really. And you sort of do wonder if this is sort of the downward spiral of a career that had so much more promise.
It is. It's sad. And I think the comparison with what he's got is with Darren Fletcher, who was someone who, you know, was a very good player at Man United at one point. And you know, it's good to see him. A bit of an aside, it's good to see him playing regularly for West Brom and having a decent career, even with this illness. We'll move on. I want to discuss France as well, the French league, League One. Monaco 3 points ahead of PSG Nice. A lot of goals in the Monaco side. Do you think it'll be enough to fire them to the title?
Well, I mean, they're scoring at nearly 3 goals a game, aren't they? So you would think that should be enough, but PSG have started to get their act together now. I mean, everyone was sort of a bit surprised that they weren't at the top of the table in the early of the season. I think they're still adapting to not only life after Zlatan, but Unai Emery sort of getting to grips with the team after his incredible stint at Sevilla. But yeah, I mean, I think you'd like to see Monaco win the league. I mean, I know PSG is sort of defined as a money-rich club, and Monaco aren't, you know, they're not paupers either, but at least it's a new team in comparison to PSG sort of whitewashed over the last couple of seasons. I mean, it'd be even nice. Well, it's going to be an awful pun. It's even nicer to see Nice win the title. But yeah, I mean, like I say, it's an interesting three-horse race, which you don't usually see in France, or you certainly haven't seen over the last sort of few years since PSG have had all the Qatari investment. But the way Monaco are playing, it's been sort of sensational. I mean, that game against Manchester City a few weeks back, people are calling it the best ever Champions League game, and I think you'd have to sort of agree with that, really. The tournament has certainly come alive after the group stage, because he always has a habit of doing so. I mean, we've seen some incredible results. We've seen Barcelona lose 4-0 to PSG. We've seen Bayern Munich beat Arsenal 5-1. We've seen that 5-3. So the Champions League obviously sort of sparked into life. But Monaco, I watched them at Wembley against Tottenham earlier in the season. And you sort of, at the time, didn't really sort of rate Monaco that highly. It was a bit of a, not unknown team, but sort of not quite well-beaters either. But then I think that game almost sort of made you sort of sit up and take notice, really. Like Bernardo Silva and Thomas Lamar have got some real good talents there. And this is a sort of team that you would imagine will probably get cherry-picked in the summer. And you then sort of wonder how, if they can sort of regenerate that team at the same level. So would this sort of be the swan song where they can actually go out on a high and win the league? And then that sort of team gets broken up over the summer? You'd like to sort of think so, if that is going to be the case. But yeah, I'd like to see Monaco win the league this season.
You've named two very good players in Lamar and Bernardo Silva. I know Hero, who's on the last show, he's having kittens about Mbappe, the left winger, sometimes plays up front for them as well. I know he's in very good goal scoring form at the moment. And Falcao as well, for me. You know, he was sort of written off, obviously, after his poor stints at United and Chelsea, but he's come back and scored quite a few goals, and I thought it was nice to see him score a goal at City as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What a renaissance that's been. I mean, almost a forgotten man. I mean, you can look at his Premier League stints, and they were nothing special really at both Manchester United and Chelsea, but he sort of come back into himself at Monaco. I think you could have, you know, when he played in England, was he really fully fit? Perhaps not. I think he's finally sort of got himself sorted again, and he's in a team where he's going to be the figurehead, and I think Monaco are sort of reaping the rewards this season.
Mm-hmm. But you, Monaco, who you hope win the league?
Yeah, I mean, not just hope. I think they will win it, to be honest. Okay. I think, sort of, like I say, the way they're sort of hitting 3 goals a game on average. It's quite a phenomenal scoring rate. PSG are keeping them honest, but I think Monaco just had that little extra edge this season.
All right, well, we'll move on to the main part of the show, the La Liga review. There's only one place we can really start with the news coming in last week that Enrique is leaving Barcelona at the end of the season. What do you make of him? Do you think he's done a good job at Barcelona?
I think he has. I mean, he's won the last two league titles before this season. He's won a Champions League. He's won a sort of plethora of cups, super cups and the like. So it's not a bad job at all. This season perhaps hasn't been a great season for Barcelona, but at the present time, there's still a point clear Real Madrid, although Real Madrid have got a game in hand. But I do think that the Barcelona job does bring incredible pressures that I don't really think are matched in any other club in European or world football. And I think he sort of said on record himself that he just needs a rest. And I think Pep Guardiola was the same. He had to take a sabbatical, didn't he, before going to Bayern Munich. Mm-hmm. I just think the pressure is literally that, especially Spanish football, it's always talked about in cycles. So it's not a case of the manager who will be there for 5-10 years. It's literally, especially with Barcelona and Real Madrid, pushing themselves to higher levels that, you know, have never been reached before, with the likes of Messi, Ronaldo scoring goals by the bucket load, that they literally are pushing themselves so hard and so fast that the teams and the players themselves, they've only got that sort of span. And I think a manager in one of those two clubs, and certainly Barcelona, because Real Madrid probably wouldn't even give them 3 years, but certainly Barcelona, that you can only sort of work with those players for so long because you literally just run out of ideas.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it was good, like tactically, that he changed it? Because he changed it from this tiki-taka style, which they had before, to a more direct style of play, which as it's been put by Sky, bypasses the midfield and goes straight to the front three. I think, for me personally, it's made him a bit more exciting to watch. But I know some criticise it and say it's not as good. It's not as effective, let's say, as Guardiola's tactics.
I guess it boils down to the sort of pragmatic sort of question of, do you want to win well, or do you just want to win? I think Enrique's sort of perhaps been a bit more direct, simplified it slightly. It's not for perhaps the purists of Barcelona have been sort of had this gluttony of tiki-taka over the last sort of 5-6 years previous. It didn't quite work out under Tata Martino, although Villanova won a title, it was still sort of very much Guardiola's team in essence. So Enrique's sort of changed it. I think he had to change it slightly. Forget that Xavi's gone to Qatar. Iniesta has been injured quite a bit this season, and it is a team in slight sort of transition. So the midfield is not only being bypassed for a change of tactics, but I think also for it hasn't got the same kind of quality. So you're looking at players like Andre Gomes and Denis Suarez coming to the midfield this season. They're not quite the same sort of calibre. So that's not just saying, oh, my midfield's not good enough, we can't use them at all, but I just think the way that Barcelona would ping the ball about and teams would be chasing him, like, you know, for minutes on end and not getting a touch, they're not quite that dominant in midfield, so they can't necessarily rely on that dominance week in, week out.
Mm. I know a lot has been made about the relationship between Enrique and Messi, rumours that they don't get on. I guess this makes him more likely to stay at Barcelona beyond this season. I don't think there was much chance of him leaving anyway, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe any Messi rumour elsewhere, because he said himself on record that he'll go back to Argentina for like a season and then call it a day. So he'll be at Barcelona for as long as they want him. And I can't really see like Manchester City paying £100 million for him. I just can't really see it. I think it's quite lazy journalism, because it's just Guardiola's trying to build, you know, Barcelona in Manchester with a backroom staff, and you can't necessarily just plonk Messi into that. I just don't think it works. I just think, to be honest, if you're a player of sort of Latin heritage, or, you know, like a Latin upbringing, so be it Argentina, Brazil, Portugal, the dream is to always play for either Barcelona or Real Madrid. So, for example, if you're Cristiano Ronaldo, you want to move, you know, to one of those two big clubs. Same with Messi, it's always getting to Barcelona or Real Madrid. It's only going to be money, which is going to be a factor that says, you know, no disrespect to Manchester, but is he going to really swap Barcelona for Manchester for sort of purely sporting idealism? I don't really think it will happen. I think he's an absolute idol at Barcelona. I just really can't just see a move happening in the next sort of, I mean, how old is he now? 29? I think he'll see out the next perhaps 4 years at Barcelona, have 1 year in the southern Argentina, and then probably call it a day.
Yeah, no, I pretty much agree with you, which is a shame for the show, really, because it doesn't have much debate about it. We'll move on to Barcelona. Well, sticking with Barcelona, next manager after Enrique, I saw Valverde, the Bilbao boss. He used to play there. He's the favourite for the job. Sampioli, who's doing a fantastic job at Sevilla, who we'll come on to in a bit. They're the two favourites. Who do you see in the hot seat next year?
Probably Valverde, I think, because we always talk about Barcelona DNA, and I think he's not in the same school as sort of Guardiola and all that sort of, you know, the Guardiola Cruyff axis, but he's certainly someone who knows the club inside out, knows how it sort of ticks. But that's not taking away anything from Jorge Sampaoli. He's done an absolutely incredible job with Sevilla. I think Sevilla, many felt that they would not perhaps struggle this season, but after losing Unai Emery last season, after winning three Europa Leagues on the bounce, you sort of thought, okay, maybe that's the end of their cycle. Like I said, you know, we all talk about cycles in Spain, but everyone thought, well, that's the end of that. But the fact that Sampaoli has made Sevilla better, you know, they're pushing Barcelona and Real Madrid for the title in a, what is a three-horse race. They've probably sort of taken the role of Atletico Madrid this season. So obviously Sevilla would be loathed to lose Sampaoli. Whether he'll feel that's a job too big too soon, I don't know. But I would put my smart money on the Bilbao manager for now. But I mean, a lot could change in the next 12 weeks. But yeah, I think it would be Valverde.
Okay. Do you think there's any chance of a Premier League manager? You know, Pochettino, Koeman, Arsene Wenger even taking over?
There's always possibilities. I think you could make a case for all three, but then you can make cases not for any of those two. I mean, if I was to sort of roll through them, Pochettino, I think the fact that played for Espanyol for 6 years, that's already sort of a cross next to his name. But that should not necessarily go against him due to the job he's doing at Tottenham. But again, with that job he's doing at Tottenham, he's not going to want to walk away from the project, for use of a better word, at this point, with the fact that Tottenham are where they are, they're going to a new stadium. So I think it'd be sort of silly for him, not silly for him to move to Barcelona, because, you know, if we were football managers, that's the sort of job we'd all sort of walk away from our clubs to go to. So it's not sort of silly from that aspect, but the fact that Tottenham are really onto something, you sort of think, well, you know, do I want to be the man who walked away and then someone else took that on to, took Tottenham on to great things? But for Koeman, I think he's got that Barcelona DNA again. You know, he's a hero at the club for scoring the winning goal in the 1992 European Cup final, so a bit of a legend. And he sort of sits nicely in that Dutch Barcelona axis. He's been doing well at both Southampton and Everton. Perhaps the fact that he's only been at Everton for a year, he might think perhaps that it's not the job again at the right time, but then he might think this might be the only opportunity he could get it. So I think if I was to pick a Premier League manager from those three, it would be him at the top. I think Arsene Wenger's not the most outrageous shout, but that will all boil down to whether he signs a new contract. I know he's been reportedly courted by Barcelona over a number of years. It's never quite been the right time, or he's never, you know, had the desire to leave Arsenal. So I think if he is ever going to manage a club like Barcelona's stature, this might have to be the time. So don't rule him out, but you would think on the balance of probabilities, the manager will come from Spain and not the Premier League.
Mm-hmm. A bit of a left field choice, but someone who I really rate as a manager, Laurent Blanc. I know he's out of work since leaving PSG. He's somebody I'd like to see at Barcelona myself. I think he might be an interesting left field option as well.
Well, he did have a stint at Barcelona, so was, again, not the most outrageous shout. Did well at PSG, but I think that was a point where anyone could have done well at PSG, and that's not to sort of tame what he's done, but they were winning the league at an absolute canter, weren't they? So, I mean, I think his spell at PSG was obviously defined by, like Guardiola, he didn't win a Champions League, whereas Guardiola sort of moved on to Manchester City, that ultimately cost Laurent Blanc his job, so he's not... His stock isn't obviously at its highest. If he was for PSG again this season and they were winning the league and perhaps team was in charge of PSG beating Barcelona, then you'd think, well, hang on, you know, maybe he could be scouted by Barcelona as their new manager. But then that also, the same could be said for Unai Emery. You think, well, Spanish knows the league inside out, obviously, just masterminded a 4-0 first leg defeat of Barcelona. So I would not be surprised if he was in their radar either.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll move on from Barcelona. Talk about the other big side in Spain, Real Madrid. they've started off the season fantastically. Zidane's incredible run continued, but recently stuttered a bit and no longer top of the league. What do you make of their season so far?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, the first half was incredible. They've got that win record, and you sort of thought, you know, after a spell of Barcelona dominance in La Liga, that this was going to be a Real Madrid season. But they've just hit a bit of a rut in form over the last sort of few weeks. It's been two wins in the last four, and it's seen defeat to Valencia away, a dramatic draw at home to Las Palmas the week before last, where they were 3-1 down. They needed two Ronaldo goals in the last 5 minutes to draw, and that was with 10 men, so quite an impressive draw. I think it was more heartbreaking for Las Palmas, to be honest, but they've just, yeah, they've come a bit unstuck as of late. I mean, they won at the weekend against Eibar, which is a decent result. It's almost sort of a, you know, getting back to their best. So with them being a point behind in the game in hand, it's obviously there still to lose. It could even really go down to the next El Clasico at the Bernabeu later in the season to sort of decide who wins. But I think Barcelona have hit their stride because they had a little sort of slump as well. And I think you've sort of seen Barcelona, who have now won the last six in the league, and they're sort of rolling over teams with five and sixes. I mean, they've beat Sporting Gijón 6-1 week before last. They beat Celta Vigo 5-0 at the weekend. So they're starting to sort of get back to their best. They've scored more goals than Real Madrid. And it's only really like a drawn game which is sort of splitting the difference at the moment in terms of, so for me, if Real Madrid were to draw their game in hand, Barcelona would stay top on the basis of head-to-head. So the goal difference isn't really a factor in Spain. But yeah, it's, I wouldn't say it's been a season of two halves for Real Madrid, but this sort of spell over the last month or so has not been their best, probably their worst run of form actually across the whole season.
The thing is, when you consider, we're talking about this bad form Real Madrid are in because they've lost a game. But it just shows the difference in class in the Spanish league, because, you know, they've won 18 games out of 25, you know, five draws and two losses. If that was an equivalent form, well, I think the only team in equivalent form in England is Chelsea. And it just really shows to me the difference in class and just how well Real Madrid did in that first part of the season.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, it's just barometers are set so high that you sort of, a defeat is almost crisis, isn't it? Because A, you've got Barcelona on your tails, and in comparison to that form you've had earlier in the season, when you weren't losing games, it's almost like, well, hang on, what's this like? Because you almost forget how to lose. So, yeah, I mean, it's incredible how bad run of form is sort of consigned in Spain that, you know, a defeat all of a sudden, and it's the mass hysteria of the football over there, that everything's sort of so much sort of bigger, dramatic, that a win or a loss will sell so many more papers. So, I mean, it's certainly going to go down to the wire. I thought at one point, I think a lot of people would have thought, you know, even 5 or 6 weeks ago, that Real Madrid could have been 7 points clear with their games in hand. Now, just that little bump, and it, you know, it's made the league season interesting again. But I think, if anything, the fact that Luis Enrique has announced he's leaving, it might just give Barcelona a bit of a jolt and think, well, let's go and try and end this season on a high note and, you know, make it three league titles on the bounce. So I'm going to put my money on Barcelona in Spain.
Okay. With Real Madrid as well, do you think with Ronaldo we're sort of getting to the beginning of the end with him? Because he's playing more as a striker role, and I don't think he's quite as quick as he was. And I don't know, I sort of get the sense we're at the beginning of the end of his career.
Yeah, again, I think because the bar is set so high, you know, we're talking of seasons of, what, 40, 50 goals, and now he's not hitting those heights, so we all think, oh, you know, it's a player on the sort of downward spiral of his career, which it probably is, but then next season he might find that spark again. But you're probably right that we sort of, the heights that he hit won't necessarily be matched again. But that's not to say, anyway, from his talents, of course, he's still, you know, the best, or in the best team players in the world ever, if you want to set up that argument, you know, that's an argument that's going to run. But you would probably look in a couple of seasons that he might be eclipsed by, you know, the likes of Neymar or perhaps even Griezmann. Do you know what I mean? Like, he'll sort of, his status down the pecking order might sort of slip to the top fourth or fifth best player in the world. But again, that's not to take anything away from him. It's just, you forget almost how long he's been around in the game and what he's done, really. He has done everything. So there's no shame in someone getting older. It's just father time catching up with him. But you're probably right in the sense that the way he's sort of playing, he's not quite contributing as much this season, but that perhaps thing creates headaches further down the line, because is he the kind of player that is almost undroppable? So if you've got someone like Zinedine Zidane, who's got a, you know, squad of superstars, and Ronaldo would obviously always be in the first name on the team sheet, at what point do you think, well, actually, like, you know, perhaps he needs to sit this one out, or his form isn't quite what it should be? I guess they're going to be headaches that will sort of come around the corner, perhaps not this season, but maybe sort of next season or the season after that, if he stays at Real Madrid, which I'll probably, I'd imagine he would, because the sort of price that Real Madrid would demand, even at his age, you can't really sort of see him going elsewhere either.
No, he's someone who really wants to be the best on the pitch. I think he turned down that big move to China in January as well. With it, I think Zidane, I think he's the first manager to actually not play Ronaldo in every game, pretty much. And he's rotated the squad, and there's a lot of other options. You know, you look at James, Vasquez, Morata's in the side, Asensio as well. I think the other question you'd raise, though, is it can Gareth Bale go on to be the very, very best player and rival Messi?
I guess that depends if he can sort of supersede Ronaldo at Real Madrid, really. That's probably the only thing stopping him from that point of view. It's whether Ronaldo wants to be sharing the number one limelight, because, like I say, he's always going to want to be the number one. But will he at one point have to say, right, it's time for me to give that mantle up? There's nothing stopping Bale in himself. I think he's an incredible player. I think he's, you know, won 2 Champions Leagues in a sort of short spell. Well, I say short spell, he's been there, what, 3-4 seasons now? So he's defined as a success for me. Can he go on to be the world's best? I don't know, really. It's hard to sort of define the best, really, in a team sport, because you're sort of saying, well, is, you know, why is Luis Suarez not the best? Because he gets, you know, the most goals. It's sort of, I guess it's a very subjective sort of question, but I know what you're trying to imply them to, like, can he win sort of Ballon d'Ors and the like? I guess, I don't know if the fact he plays for Wales might go against him, because I know that Wales got to the European Championships in the summer, but are they the kind of nation that's going to get to major tournaments all the time? I don't think their World Cup qualification is necessarily a given this time around, so because of that, is he necessarily in the limelight all the time? Like, you'd have to sort of then ask, you'd have to do like a real amazing sort of stint at Real Madrid, you know, you'd be looking at Champions League wins every season to then even be considered the world's best. So probably just in the sort of tier below, I would imagine, but I think there will be a day where he'll become, you know, finally the star at Real Madrid. It's just a case of when that time will be.
Okay, yeah, no, that's a very valid point. I've not thought of that with Wales, but yeah. Moving on to Sevilla, who are currently third in the table, as you mentioned before. They're 4 off Barcelona, 3 off Madrid. Albeit haven't played a game more. Obviously, overachieving under Sampaoli. Do you think they've got a serious chance of winning the title?
Unfortunately not. I think they're pushing Barcelona and Real Madrid close, but I think, I mean, even now with 4 points behind, I just think it's probably third is going to be a great season for them, but I just don't think they've got the extra to really sort of push on and cause them real trouble. I mean, there might be, I don't know if they've still got to play each other. I know Sevilla beat Real Madrid early in the season. I think Barcelona have already gone to there as well. So I don't think they can really sort of rely on getting points off them. I don't know. Probably not. But that's, again, that's not to take anything away from them. I think that if they can finish in the top three, which 7-point gap over Atletico Madrid would suggest they could, that's got to be defined as an incredible successful season. Just things like they're in the Champions League, still in the knockout phases, because usually, you know, they have that habit of being in the Champions League, getting it knocked out in the Europa League. So it's obviously they don't want to really relinquish their grip on the Europa League, but that in itself is defined as progress, because they're actually still in the Champions League. So still have to say it's a very successful season, but I don't think they've quite got the legs to go all the way this time around.
Fair enough. Yeah, I thought they'd try and deliberately finish third in the group stage of the Champions League, to be honest.
It wouldn't surprise me.
In terms of players as well, someone who's really stood out for me, Samir Nasri, who was sort of mediocre at City, but for me, he's been very good. And Vitolo as well, the winger, been in fantastic form all season.
Yeah, I like Vitolo. He always looks good playing for Spain. I think he's offered a lot for Sevilla this season. And I think with Samir Nasri, just one of the kind of players that just needed a move, really. It's amazing what sometimes a move away can do to reignite someone's career. I think fitness was a bit of a doubt at City. I think David Guardiola would have really rated him, especially with the work rate that would have been demanded. So kudos to Nasri for actually not deciding just to sit on the bench and collect a wage. He actually sort of decided that, I want to play a bit of football. He looks near the sort of player that was playing well for Arsenal that got him that move to City in the first place. So, yeah, he's impressed this season. I would imagine that Seville will probably make that loan deal permanent in the summer, and I think that's probably a move that will suit all parties.
Mm-hmm. Another player as well, it's a bit of an aside from what we're talking about, but Kevin Prince-Boateng, who's had his he's had his issues off the pitch as well. He's had a very good season at Las Palmas. Someone who's sort of come out of nowhere, and I know he's had a bit of attention on him for having a good season.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a nomadic career, really. I mean, sort of forgettable spell at Tottenham, Portsmouth, played in Germany, AC Milan. So, he's not had a bad career. He's a fair share of big clubs. I'm not really counting Portsmouth as a big club. But yeah, I think sometimes players need to sort of rediscover himself. There can be, you look at a move like that and think, God, he's fallen down a bit. But sometimes, like Nasri, I think Nasri's probably more closer in tune to his actual sort of talent. But sometimes it just needs a player like Boateng to sort of sit in a club like Las Palmas, be their key man, and let his talent really flourish, where he probably got perhaps smothered at other clubs where he's got bigger players around him and he's not necessarily given that main role. So to sort of be the fulcrum of everything that ticks at Las Palmas and everything that's positive. I mean, I know he scored against Real Madrid the other week and made it 3-1, but I said they're fortunate they couldn't hold out. So, yeah, he's having a good season, and sort of good to see him back to his best, really.
Yeah, he was saying about how that peaceful lifestyle on the beach really helps him out, and he likes that lifestyle. And Balotelli at Nice as well, it's going back quite a way, but he's also had a decent season, and it's as you say about moving. The geography as well as moving the clubs, I think, can be very important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sometimes you just sort of you get away from all the limelight a big club would sort of bring, because you forget, well, you probably don't forget, but Balotelli, every week he was caught in this sort of skirmish, or he's done this, done that. And I think the English press and the press in Nice, it's not really sort of comparable, is it? So Balotelli's just allowed to sort of get on with his life, and Nice are obviously reaping the benefits being third in the French league right now.
Mm-hmm. Gone to fourth place, Atletico Madrid. They've obviously not really impressed as much as they have done under Simeone previously. He's had his contract shortened, which seems a strange thing to do. Do you think this? Well, like we were saying before about the beginning of the end, is it same for Simeone as well? Because he's being courted by a lot of other European clubs.
Yeah, I think it is actually. I think the fact that Simeone, like you say, has shortened his contract sort of does trigger an alarm bell. You think, well, hang on, like, what's he sort of eyeing up? Also, the fact that Atletico Madrid are reportedly in a bit of money trouble because they're funding their new stadium that they move to next season, but it's got a heavily sort of weighted investment from China, but there's penalty clauses involved, so if certain things aren't paid back, then Atletico Madrid have to sort of sell players to fund these Chinese investors. So you could see the breakup of the team. So could see the likes of Griezmann depart, Sal Niguez is another one. So, not necessarily be Simeone leaving, it could be that they leave, lose their star players, or they could even have the nightmare scenario of losing their star players and Simeone. So, it's not all sort of well at Atletico Madrid. You almost sort of look at it and think, if they had just won the Champions League, that would have really kicked them into the next level, and they would have been sort of sorted for a few more years. But I think the failure to really sort of break that glass ceiling, they're almost going to be that sort of seeing that nearly team. I just don't think they're ever going to reach those heights. Forever is a big word, but certainly for the next sort of few years, I think they've had their chance. And obviously, they won a title in Spain, but they've never quite sort of smashed through that barrier of joining the likes of Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich as big European teams. And I just think this could be the beginning of the breakup of everything that was good in that spell.
Mm-hmm. And like Sevilla, Real Sociedad are another side who've really overperformed this season. Can you see them maybe pinching the last Champions League spot for Atletico Madrid?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a point in it. I wouldn't even rule out Villarreal either. I mean, they've got a very mean defence, meanest of the lot at the moment. They've only conceded 19 goals. Three of them came at home to Real Madrid the other week. So it's 4 points between fourth and sixth. I mean, that's nothing really in the grand scheme of things. Neither team's really sort of getting getting a foothold on fourth and making their own. Like I say, with Sevilla 7 points clear, you imagine that there's not much left to fight over. So, you probably put Atletico Madrid in the box seat, but like we sort of just said, they're not really blowing anyone away this season. They're sort of drawing games that were last season they would have won. The Vicente Calderón's not necessarily the fortress it once was, so there's certainly sort of scope for a sort of change. And I wouldn't be too surprised if Real Sociedad put to return to the Champions League come the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Valencia have improved since appointing their new manager, that Salvador Borro. He replaced Cesar Prandelli at the turn of the year. I saw he was caretaker at the club four times.
Yeah, he seems to be almost the firefighter at Valencia. When everything sort of goes wrong, they seem to pull on him. You forget that Valencia have been sort of running through managers. So, since Gary Neville had Paco Ayerstan, who was the Liverpool assistant. He had a stint towards the end of last season and started this season, but he was gone by October. Then Cesar Prandelli came in, lasted, 2 months. And you sort of almost thought at one point, this is a team that could almost go down because they were hovering over the relegation zone. They were never in it. I think they were as low as 17th at one point. But new man's come in, just give a bit of a lift. We've seen beat Real Madrid a couple of weeks back. I mean, Simone Zaza, that West Ham flop, scored an incredible goal after about 4 minutes. So he's got him playing again. I think the objective this season is simply stay up. The season's been a bit of a write-off than this, really. But after so much sort of transition, they've had, three managers in the space of, 18 months. And you look at, and also, Nuno Espirito Santo before that. So it's been a lot of upheaval at Valencia. They need stability. Whether they then look for another man in the summer, probably. But it's worrying in case of Valencia, the fact that they've almost given too much of themselves to Jorge Mendes, the fact that they buy players on the sort of, not credit, but everything sort of bought on the third party sort of situation. So any good players then get sold out onto bigger clubs like Paco Alcacer last season from Valencia to Barcelona. I know that was a move that a lot of Valencian fans shook their heads out for, or a terrible move. It's a club that needs Champions League football really to survive. I'm not necessarily going to say they're going to do a Leeds. The crisis would have been worse had they got relegated, and it would have brought its own parallels. The fact that Valencia played Leeds in the Champions League 16 years ago in the semi-finals, and both of them could have been in sort of dire straits. Although Leeds are sort of slightly on the up and up now this season under Gary Monk, but yeah, this is a club that, although it's got the investment from Peter Lim, it still is failing to fund its new stadium, which has been in the works for almost 10 years. So this is the sort of crisis they're in, the sort of part owned by the banks. It's a team that often transition because they, like I say, they're always sort of playing Jorge Mendes, who just seems to have his sort of fingers in too many pies at Valencia. So it's an interesting story. It's never dull at the Mestalla, but I think they'll just be happy for survival this season.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a very difficult situation with Mendes, as you say, and the squad sort of needed ripping up and starting again, which they've done a bit, but I think that real rebuilding job will continue into next season, and hopefully they can get a European place or something. We'll have to wait and see what happens there.
Thing is with Valencia, though, they almost like regress every season. If you took Southampton as a comparable, where Southampton lose their best players, but they've still managed to sort of regenerate, partly because of their youth academy, but they seem to have this ability to not really fall down the league too drastically, although this season, probably in comparison to the last two, it's not been as good. Whereas Valencia, sort of diminishing returns, where they keep selling their best players and not quite replacing them the same level of talent, and you sort of begin to wonder how many seasons they can get away with that. So whoever does come in the summer is going to have to sort of buy, he's going to have to buy well, but he'll have to sort of buy well with limited funds, and you sort of wonder how much cloth cutting will eventually be to their detriment, and perhaps see them in the Segunda Liga.
Mm-hmm. Another club as well who were once one of the top clubs in Spain, Deportivo La Coruña, in the early 2000s, one of the top clubs there. So they've recently appointed the former West Brom boss, Pepe Mel. He's made a decent start of winning a draw in his first two games. And they should be safe from relegation now, you would expect. And I suppose for them, it's the same sort of thing. Just make sure they're safe and look forward to next season.
Yeah, I mean, Pepe Mel said to stick to Rayo Vallecano and two stints at Betis. I think that West Brom stint was quite forgettable, really, wasn't it? I mean, I know he kept him up, but only won three games in 17 or something, so nothing too impressive. I think he'll be in the sort of list of forgotten foreign managers in the Premier League. But yeah, great start for Deportivo. It's a spout cliche, whether it's that new manager bounce, we'll have to wait and see. But the 4 points he's gained in those two games is now putting 4 points clear of Granada. They've also got a game in hand. So, nice looking, certainly rosier than Riazor. Obviously, they're still a long way off that Super Depot team from 15 or so years ago. But like you say, like Valencia, it'll just be a case of keeping the heads above water and staying in the league this season.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll move on. I want to discuss a few of the Champions League games. All four Spanish have got four sides still in the Champions League. I want to ask a general question. What do you make of the like the balance of power in European football, if you like? Do you think how much stronger do you think the Spanish league, like top Spanish teams, are compared to the rest of Europe?
Oh, that's a good question. That I think this, well, results don't lie, do they? And I think results ultimately are who's winning the trophies. And in the last 3 years, it's been Spanish teams. Is this just the sort of a purple patch of Spanish teams, perhaps? I mean, if you look at the Premier League, that had their sort of spell between 2005 and 2012, where I think it was only 1 year there was no English team in the final. So we've seen it before. Whether this is just Spain's turn, it probably is. But at the same time, you can't really see that sort of grip on the trophy being any looser this season. I think the Spanish team will win it. I think it will probably be Real Madrid again. I think we'll see a Spanish team win it again. I think it's how you define strongest league. I don't think it's strong in the sense of its competitive nature, because although Barcelona and Real Madrid aren't quite romping away a bit as they used to in years gone by, I think it's got a bit more interesting with Atletico Madrid mixing up over the last 3 years and Sevilla pushing in this season. Does that make for a best league because it's got the two sort of best teams in the world? Perhaps not. Again, if you look at the Premier League, is that the best league because it's more competitive and on any given day any sort of team could beat someone? So that's a sort of wider question. But in terms of sort of dominance in Europe, I think you've got to give it to Spain, really, haven't you?
Yeah, it's hard to argue. And the fact that Barcelona and Real Madrid are seen as the two top teams, it's very hard to argue. I want to ask about Barcelona, though. Is there any possibility of them overcoming this 4-0 deficit to PSG?
Well, I mean, they won 5-0 at the weekend, so if they are going to go through, they're going to have to get a scoreline very similar to that. I mean, they can't really shed any away goals, so they're going to have to be looking at a 5-0 win. It's not impossible, it's unlikely, but we've seen them roll over Celtic, 7-0 early in the season. They have got it in them, so that's the sort of thing. They've been pretty much bullish over the last 2 weeks. They've scored 11 goals in their two league games. There's an awful performance in the first leg. You'd like to think they've learned from that. It's probably a game that ultimately has probably cost Enrique his job. I know he's sort of decided that enough's enough, but that would certainly have gone against him in terms of whether he would have been offered a new contract. So, can they right the wrongs? I'd like to see it. I mean, I genuinely would. I think it'd be an amazing comeback, and it's not outside the realms of sort of possibility, but you would imagine that PSG would be good for a goal, and I think that away goal will kill off any hope. So Barcelona will probably win on the night, and they'll probably win something like 3-1, but it won't be enough to see them through to the quarterfinals, unfortunately.
Okay, yeah, no, I agree. I think Barcelona will win on the night. I think the main thing about that first leg, it wasn't just that they lost 4-0, it was that they were completely outplayed. PSG absolutely battered them, and Emery got his tactics spot on. The PSG side just wanted it more, I think. I think that's almost more important than the 4-0 win. You know, mentally, they absolutely dominated them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that fourth goal sort of summed up, really, the way that, I can't remember who it was now, but it just had a sort of, the midfield sort of split open like the Dead Sea, and it was just like, it was incredible, really. And then Cavani sort of played in, and bang, it's 4-0. And it's just like, that goal in itself, just sort of the turning of the screw, really. It was, I think it made people sit up and take notice and think, wow, because it wasn't for Ter Stegen, it could have honestly, like I say, like been not 7, really. And that's just not sort of downplaying PSG and how good they were. I think Barcelona just didn't turn up on the night, did they? And they got severely punished.
Yeah, Thomas Meunier, you're thinking of, the right back who smashed through the midfield.
And, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Also an interesting tie, Sevilla v Leicester. Leicester getting that away goal through Jamie Vardy, and new manager coming in, obviously a bit of an aside to what this show's trying to focus on. But that's an interesting tie, and obviously Sevilla in great form this season, Leicester not. But any chance of a Leicester comeback?
Do you know what? I think there will be. I think that Jamie Vardy goal was huge, because looking at that performance, and Kasper Schmeichel did well to keep it down to 2-0 at that point, and you thought, oh, this is going to be a long night for Leicester. And I just think that goal just sort of shifted the momentum back their way, and the fact that Craig Shakespeare's in, and Champions League nights, they are sort of saving their best performances for. And I just think that away goal in Sevilla just sort of set them up very nicely. I honestly think they might have just win it 1-0 and get through on the away goal itself. So I think Leicester are going to move on.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I guess if we say those that Sevilla and Barcelona are out, Real Madrid, you expect to get through against Napoli. Well, they are basically through at the time of recording, unless we see a ridiculous comeback. Atletico Madrid as well, they beat Bayer Leverkusen 4-2 in the first leg. And as we said at the very start of the show, they've sacked their manager, so you'd expect Atletico to get through as well.
Yeah, like Leicester, to a certain degree, they've been saving their best for Europe as well. I think they've won every of all seven games. Did they go unbeaten in the group stages? I think they did, and they've obviously won the first leg, so I think they've got a 100% record in the tournament this season. So I can't see them slipping up at the Vicente Calderon. Like I say, it's going to take something incredible in Napoli for them to overturn a first leg deficit and a deficit on the night. So those two Madrid teams will be through. It'll be interesting with the draw, because there's no country protection where they meet each other. I know they met each other back in 2015, and Atletico got revenge for the 2014 defeat. So that would be an interesting plotline, I guess. But who knows, they could be kept apart to the final, and Atletico could finally get that win at the third time of asking. That would be an interesting story as well. And it could even sort of then neatly bring an end to that Atletico Madrid squad and sort of Simeone managerial reign.
Mm-hmm. I think the tie I'm looking forward to most, which I've kept for the last, is Monaco v Man City. Obviously 5-3 in the first leg, fantastic first tie. Hopefully we see some more goals, as Monaco, a very attacking side, as we've said already. You know, plenty of top attacking players. That for me is the tie of the round. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, it's still set up very nicely. Monaco's 3 away goals. I mean, they've lost 5-3. They've only got a win 2-0 to progress, but you'd be surprised if either team kept a clean sheet due to the amount of attacking talent which is on offer. So would it be there's another 5-3? Perhaps not, but you know, Monaco are going to have to score to get through. City have always got a goal in them in terms of conceding, haven't they? They're sort of still flat to convince at the back. It's not quite a centre-back partnership which is at its best, or they sort of even know what their best one is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's probably the widest open one of the lot, I would imagine. Maybe the Leicester game, but I think don't rule Monaco out, because I think, you know, they made Tottenham look simple twice. And I think that's not a measure of Tottenham necessarily playing bad. I think it's just a measure of Monaco actually being a really good side. So I wouldn't rule them out at all.
Mm-hmm. All right, just one final question I want to ask. In a quick word, who do you think will win the Champions League this season?
Real Madrid.
Same as me. That's the same as what I thought.
There we go.
Be the first team to win it back to back.
Yeah, that's right. It does show how hard it is to win the competition, because we're looking at a 25-year-plus history of the competition now. And it's incredible how no team has done that since AC Milan in the 89-90. So it's been done in the European Cup, but in the Champions League, it's never happened. And is it because it's such a difficult tournament to win, or does the league, you know, the league that you're also in, take too much out of you that you can't then win a Champions League again? But if anyone's going to do it, I think it would be Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It'd be a nice story as well, with the final being in Cardiff, and if Gareth Bale were to score the winner or something like that.
Yeah, it almost writes itself, doesn't it?
Yeah. All right, I think we've reached the end of the show. Is there anything you want to mention, any social media?
Yeah, I'll get a couple of plugs in. my website is realfootballman.com. It covers just about everything, or, you know, if I've got time to cover it, so Premier League, Champions League, all of that, please give it a read. And also my personal Twitter page, which is at DanTracy1983. So give me a follow, and I'll quite happily follow you back. And just like to say thanks for having me, Anthony. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for being on the show. You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football. Check out our website, v2football.com. It's good night from me, and good night from my guest, Dan Tracy.
Cheers, good night.
Good night.